You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Everybody ready? Got something stirred in me. I'm probably going to start a series tonight on the subject of faith. Everybody say faith. F-A-I-T-H, faith. You know, I made an acronym of that, for all I trust him. That'd be a good acronym for those words, faith, because that's what it boils down to. Faith is just trusting God. You know, some trust in chariots, the psalmist said, some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. And so we need to be we are a people of faith. That's really what defines us and describes us more than any other term, really, when you think about it. You could say holy, you could say moral, but there's other people that are holy and moral as far as their actions. There's other religions that teach morality and holiness and so on and so forth. But what separates us from the world and from other religions is what we believe. Right. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that He is our Lord and He is our Savior. So the dividing line between the world and the church is not a line of morality. We often think that. And having said that, we should live moral and should live holy. The Scripture is filled with that. But what separates us from the world is not how clean we are or how moral we are, although that should make a difference. But what separates us from the world is our faith. They are unbelievers, we are believers. In fact, that's what the Christians were first called, was believers in the book of Acts. And it was later sarcastically at Antioch, I believe, that they were called Christians. Those people that followed Christ, sarcastically, Christians. And so we took the name as a badge and an honor from then on. We call ourselves Christians, but originally in the book of Acts they were called believers. The believers were added to the church daily. And the believers got together. In fact, the word faith, some 30 times in the King James Version, is used to describe Christianity as a whole. This is called the faith. Paul said this was the word of faith which we preach. And the Bible says, be good to the household of faith. And the Scripture tells us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or not. And so what this is the faith. And what we are is believers. I love that. It's just what we do. Believe is not something we conjure up. It's not something that we have to fabricate. It's not something we have to work hard at. It's who we are. Believing is what we do. We are believers. Okay. So we actually don't even come to church to find out how to believe. We don't come to church to find out if we can believe. We don't open our Bibles and read to find out if we can believe. We come to church and we open our Bibles and we hear messages from the Word of God and we look into the Scripture to find out what we believe. Believing is what we do. Not, see the question, I wish I could believe that. Oh, wait a minute, you are a believer. You can believe. The problem with the church for the most part is not their ability to believe. They just don't know what they believe. Once you identify who you are and you tag yourself for who you are, we are believers. Then we get into the Word and we find out what we believe. Does that make sense? I don't study the Scripture to see if I can believe. I know I can believe. I am a believer. I study the Scripture to see what I believe. And if I can find it in the Scripture, I can believe it. Because believing is what I do. A painter paints. Are you with me? A believer believes. That's what I do. That's who I am. That's what God calls me. And it's what I have. It's something we all... Faith is what we all have. If we're believers, Christians, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, if we've already made that step, crossed that threshold, walked into that room, joined that family, a part of that body, Christians, believers, then we already have faith. We're not trying to muster it. We're not trying to come up with it. We can increase it, but we already have it. Woo! Yes. I love it. I already have it. I already got faith. In fact, look at 2 Peter. Let's just establish that real quick. 2 Peter. Everybody say faith. Faith. Faith, faith, faith. Love it. Praise God. Thank God for it. Thank God I got it. God's just looking for it. In fact, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? And you know who He praised and who He marveled at? People that believed. Made a point, made an example out of believers. People that used their faith. You know, when that centurion came to Jesus in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, and he says, "My servant lieth at the point of death. Come lay your hands on him." If speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Jesus first said, "I'll come." As soon as he told him about his servant, he says, "My servant lies at the point of death." Jesus says, "I'll come and heal him." And he says, "No, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof. I'm a man under authority, and I say to this man, go, and that man come, and he goes and he comes. You just speak the word only, my servant be healed." And Jesus turned around, the Bible says, to the people that were following him, the Jews. This man wasn't even the Jews, a Roman centurion. He turned around and he said, "I hadn't found this kind of faith, no, not in all Israel." Wow. Everybody say found.
Found.
I love that, because what that tells me, and I'm not preaching on that particular passage, that would be a good one to go to, but I'm going another direction. Jesus was looking for faith.
Yeah.
And he found it. And when he found it, he made a point of it. To make a point to teach, to turn around and teach them. He says, "Many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, and the children of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness." That was an amazing thing. The Jews, many of them will be lost and cast in the outer darkness because they didn't have the faith this man had who wasn't even a child of Abraham. Because he was looking not for people who had some bloodline through the Jews. He was looking for a people who had faith in him.
Yeah.
And he turned to the man then and he told him, he says, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole. As you believe, so be it unto you." And from that very hour, the Bible says, his servant was healed. It's an amazing story. But it all comes down to faith. Faith amazes God. God marvels at our faith. When we're at our lowest and we're still believing, when everything's going wrong, we trust him. I mean, he'll move heaven and earth on your behalf if you'll stay in faith. Amen? And keep believing. And the good news is you can. Because this is who you are. This is what you do. This is what we do. Notice it says in 2 Peter, 1st chapter, 1st verse, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." How many of you are born again? How many of you are saved? Okay, you believe in Jesus Christ, and just by virtue of that faith you appropriated, that faith that you used when you accepted Jesus, you became a Christian, a believer, and you have obtained like precious faith, the same faith Peter had, the same faith you have. See, it wasn't great Apostle Peter that got it done. It was Peter's faith in this great God that got miracles, signs, and wonders coming to pass in his life. And he even said that, him and John both said that and made that point very aptly in the book of Acts. When they were questioned about miracles that they did, they said it was faith in the name of the Lord Jesus that has done this. In fact, Peter even said, "Why look ye on us? As if by our own power, our own holiness, we have made this man whole. Be it known to you and all of Israel that by the name of the Lord Jesus, yea, faith in his name hath made this man whole, whom you see and know." Wow. Now Peter, man, he was a man of faith. I've often heard people say this. In fact, I was ministering one time or talking to one guy years ago about healing. And he was a Christian. He was a believer of a certain church. Didn't believe exactly like we do, but he does believe in Jesus. He did. This is years ago. And I was explaining to him, you know, the Bible's very plain that if you believe, when you pray that you receive, Mark 11:23 or 24 says, "All things you desire, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them." Matthew 21:22 says this. It says that all things that you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. And so we know that believing always gets an answer. And here's what he said. This good man loved God. This wasn't quite the persuasion we are. And he said this. He says, "Well, I see that and I understand that. And I see where the Bible says that. But, you know, I just don't believe anybody today has that kind of faith. I can see Peter doing that and Paul doing that. But I don't know if anybody today has that kind of faith.
Even more so.
I'm not Peter. I'm not Paul, you know." But isn't that a strange thing when you look at what Peter said? He said, "To those who have obtained like precious faith with us."
Yeah.
So whatever kind of faith Peter had, same kind of faith you have and I have.
Yeah.
He was writing to people, and it was understood that everybody he was writing to, the church, whoever he was writing to here, had the faith he had. That we all had faith by virtue of our righteousness, our faith in Christ Jesus, just by virtue of being saved, born again. to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So before you pull that old apostle argument out, and really it's the devil trying to keep you from your miracle, keep you from an answered prayer by saying, well, man, that's apostles, you're not an apostle. Well, I'm not an apostle. I'm not an epistle. I guess I am an epistle. I'm a letter written, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, known and read of all men. But I have faith. I'm not trusting a different God than Peter trusted in. I'm not believing in a different Jesus than Peter trusted in. I'm not using a different name than he's using. I'm not flowing a different spirit that he has. I'm not using a different word that he's using. I'm using the same word, same spirit, same name, operating the same faith, trusting the same God. See, it wasn't Peter we were worshiping here. It's God we're worshiping here. And Peter just believed in God. And I've got the same kind of faith Peter does, and so do you.
Yes, amen.
Woo! So don't go down that road. Don't say, oh, I just can't believe like that. No, you can, because you have like precious faith. So when we talk about faith in a general sense, faith's what we have. Mm-hmm. What kind of faith? The like precious faith that Peter had. You're going to read Peter and see what he did and all the miracles that took place in his ministry. You're going to have to say along with Peter, I got the same kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that I have. In fact, I don't have another kind. I have like precious faith. Notice in the 12th chapter of Romans. Romans 12. Glory. Thank God for the Word. Amen. Romans the 12th chapter. See, we just got this idea, you know, we're just kind of waiting on God to do something, hope He shows up. And No. God's waiting on us. God is waiting on us. And God has empowered us. God has gifted us. God has equipped us to go out and do the work. Jesus left. And He left, I believe, He left the earth in good hands. I believe He left it in the hands of the church. And He didn't leave the church powerless when He left. He left the church with power. He even gave the church His name to use. That's the power of attorney when you think about it. He just said, okay, you just keep using My name, and whatever's behind Me in My account, I'll back it up and I'll make it good. So if Jesus is a healer, then we can still get healed by using His name. Isn't that right? Because there's still healing in the account. Is He still a healer? Sure He is. Well, I can operate in His name. He authorized me to use His name. That's another teaching altogether. I mean, the name of Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus. So we continue on the work till He comes back. He hadn't come back yet, so till He comes back, we're it. Tag, you're it. What do you mean it? You're it. You're the one now that God's moving through. Woohoo! If we want to see miracles, we're going to have to go out there and do them. If we want to see healings, we're going to have to pray for the sick. If we're going to see answered prayer, we're going to have to pray. And we're going to have to pray in faith. Well, how in the world are you ever going to do that? With the faith that He gave you, that He equipped you with, that He empowered you with, like precious faith that Peter had, that you have. In Romans 12 chapter, it says this. Notice what it says in the third verse, "For I say through the grace given to me, to every man who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now let's watch our ego here. Because anything we have, we were given. That's true in any area. I don't care what it is. If you think you're smarter than somebody else, well, thank God God made you smarter. You still have nothing to glory in. If you have a good mind, He's the one who gave it to you. Are you with me? So when we talk about faith, we don't want to glorify faith. We're talking about operating in something that God gave us, but we glorify God and we give Him the credit. We're not great faith men. We don't worship faith. We worship God, and we thank God for faith that He's given us, and we go out and we use it. Hallelujah. And when someone gets healed by faith in Jesus' name, God gets the glory. Amen? We don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, because it's by the grace of God we are what we are, and we have what we have. So there's a balance there that we're not exalting faith, honoring faith, or making some entity out of it. Are you kidding? It's just a tool that God has given us, and God's the one that gets the glory for it. Hallelujah. We thank Him for it and praise Him. We are honored to have it and use it for His glory. Okay? We pray for people to be healed for God's glory, not for our glory. We don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. So He says this, but He goes on. This is interesting. "For I say through the grace of God that's given to me, to everyone who is among you not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to everyone or each one of us a measure of faith. Did you hear that? Every one of us, each one of us has, King James says, the measure of faith. I believe that. I believe we all have faith. Now, hey, some of it's more developed than others, some than others. Some people haven't really used their faith. Some have. Some have increased their faith. Some haven't. But each one of us has the measure of faith. And we have the ability to develop it if we choose to use it like a muscle, as it were. You know, we all have two legs, two arms, and so on and so forth. But some arms are stronger than other arms in here. Some have developed their arms more. Some legs are more developed, and so on and so forth, by reason of use. You know, I don't have any more arms or legs than I had when I was born. But I have developed them more. I don't have any more muscles. I have no more bones or muscles than I had when I was born. But I have learned to use them, learned to stand on my legs, learned to use my arms, my hands, put food in my mouth instead of all my hair, you know. And you know, stood up instead of fall down on my legs. And the more I use them, the more I develop. And if you get serious, you can get in a gym and you can develop different muscles by using, by putting them to work, and so on and so forth. So I believe we all have. We never get any more faith. Even when the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith, he gave them example of using their faith. He said, if you just had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say. You'd start using your faith by saying what God says. And if you'll start using your faith and praying, and I believe this very strongly, I think many times we wait till a crisis hits and then we get very serious about believing God. The problem is we haven't developed our faith. We got us a 10-gallon problem, we got a 5-gallon hat on. Does that make sense? If you can't believe God for a hamburger, how are you going to believe Him for a miracle? We need to be believing all the time, trusting every day. Little things develop our faith. Putting faith in God for little things. Putting faith in God on our job. Putting faith in God for our family and our husband, our wife and our children, our finances and our health and our body, day by day by day by day. So when a crisis hits, this is what we do. Faith, that's what we got. Believing, that's what we do. I often hear people, you know, they'll say, well, Pastor, what if this happens or that happens because you don't know what the future holds. And I don't. I don't know what the future holds. Goodness, who knows the future? Only God. I don't know what the future holds. Yeah, but what if this happened, Pastor? What if that happened? What would you do? Well, you know what? I don't know everything I would do. I don't know all that's ever going to happen to me, but I know this. I'm going to trust God. Yeah. Whatever happens, I'm going to trust God. Yeah. That I can do. Yeah. I've proven that over and over and over. Yeah. I've seen that in the Word time and time and time again. I've had everything in the world happen to me in the short years I've been on this life. Short, young years I have been. Yes, sir. And I know this to be true, that never has anything ever happened, no matter how wild or unimaginable or unexpected or unanticipated, no matter how many times I've been sucker punched by the devil, caught off guard with something that's happened, never has anything happened that God couldn't handle if I trust Him for it. If I'd believe Him, if I'd pray. Oh, it seemed hopeless many times. And I felt like a shell of a man that I couldn't make it another day. But I made myself say, Father, I am believing You in the name of Jesus for victory in this situation, or this promise, or that promise, or thus and so. And every time, God has always come through when I believed. I wouldn't say that I've always believed. Sometimes I hadn't, but that was my fault, not God's. But when I believed, He's always come through. So I know that trusting God works because that's what the Bible tells me. That's what it says. And I know I have faith, so I can make it. And never's anything ever going to happen that God and I can't handle. God will handle it. He'll handle it if we'll trust Him, if we'll believe Him. Because that's what the Scripture says. And I have a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. We have like precious faith. Everybody say, I have it. Okay, so let's kick that out of the way. Get that sacred cow, you know, kicked over real quick. Let's knock that one off the ranch and bury that cow. Come on. The idea that you don't have faith, or somebody great has faith, or some big minister or evangelist comes through, they got faith. I wish I had that kind of faith. You listen, you've got the same kind of faith. Same kind Peter had. 2 Corinthians 4 chapter, turn there. Give you another scripture along those lines. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, these are basic scriptures. They're not real complicated scriptures. In fact, you know, I trust many of you already know them, could quote them just like I'm quoting them here. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter, here's Paul speaking again. He was speaking there in Romans 12, verse 3, that God has dealt to every man, each one of us, the measure of faith. Y'all see that? Peter says to those that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says here in 2 Corinthians 4, 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, King James Version says, and having the same spirit of faith, and he's talking to the Corinthians. This is interesting because they were Greeks that had gotten saved. The church at Corinth was in ancient Greece over there. They were Gentiles who had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He wrote a couple of letters to them. Actually, wrote three letters to them. We only have two of them in our Bible. We have 1 and 2 Corinthians. Actually, we have 2 and 3, but that's another subject altogether. He talks about a letter he wrote to them previously in the 1 Corinthians. And the 2nd, did y'all get that? Okay, that just went. Okay. But we have two of the letters that he wrote, which we call 1st and 2nd. But he'd written to them many times, and he explained to them the gifts of the Spirit. We just got through teaching a series on the gifts of the Spirit, the operation of the gifts, what they were, how they operate. That's in 1 Corinthians, the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapters. And so here he is talking to them, and he's telling them, he's joining together with them, we, us, all of us together, we having the same Spirit, we. Everybody say we. Now, if I were to say we, what would that would mean all of us, right? Okay. So that wouldn't be exclusive. I couldn't claim to that for myself because I used the pronoun we, inclusive of all of us. I didn't say me. I said we. So he's saying we have the same, we, and since we have the same spirit of faith, same, well, wait a minute now. You got Peter over there saying that the people he's preaching to have like precious faith he had, same kind of faith he had. And now you have Paul saying the same thing. He says, we have the same spirit of faith. Now, I can read in the book of Acts and see some miracles that Paul did are just astounding. Well, Acts the 19th chapter, special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul where he prayed over handkerchiefs, claws, and laid them on people. People that were demon possessed were set free. Woo! Man. Strange miracles. He raised a man from the dead in the book of Acts. I mean, you look through Paul's life, you see miracles. Peter's life, you see miracles. Ah, but now, they were apostles. Now, not to take away from that at all. Thank God for the call on their lives and the special place they have in the body of Christ. But when it comes down to the faith that they used, we have the same spirit of faith. So how can you say that? I didn't. Paul did. Paul said that. Well, how can you say that we have the same faith Peter had? Well, I didn't say that. Peter did. Peter said that. You'd have to take it up with Peter if you disagree with that. Or take it up with Paul if you disagree. And then, of course, you'd have to take it up with Jesus because, you know, this is His Word. Are you with me? So it's not an exclusive denominational church doctrine. This is just the Word we're preaching here. Amen. This is the Scripture. You have to deal with the Scripture, and the Scripture is either from God or it's not. We believe that it is. And so if you had a problem with that, you'd take it up with Him. You know, I love that they interviewed Billy Graham one time on being saved, and this is years ago. They had one of the commentators, you know, journalists, well-known journalists of his day, interviewed the Reverend Billy Graham, and they said, Reverend Graham, you're saying that you must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be saved and go to heaven. What about this young Jewish boy on the corner that lives his Jewish faith and dies without accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as you say he must? Are you saying that this young man will not go to heaven but go to hell because he did not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Now listen close. I love this. I love this. He says, no, no. He says, no, you're mistaken. He said, that's not what I'm saying. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now what Reverend Billy Graham is saying, that I believe what Jesus said. And what you have to do is decide whether you believe what Jesus said or not. I've chosen to believe what Jesus said. And see, I love that. And it is a great teaching when you think about that. When it comes down to many things that we may differ on, that's why it's so important to know what the Word says. There's a lot of things we may differ on as Christians. But if we know our source and we're quoting the Scripture, then if someone disagrees, they'll have to take it up with the Scripture. Yeah. I've chosen to believe what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says when it comes to faith, that I have like precious faith just like Peter had. I've got the same spirit of faith just like Paul had. Mm-hmm. I've got the measure of faith because that's what the Scripture says. Woo! So you got that out of the way. Now we can start believing and not have any qualms or reservations or hesitation about stepping out in faith or trusting God for something or standing on a promise. Don't you let that devil intimidate you. Don't you let the devil condemn you and try to demean you and say you don't count, you don't add up, because you as a Christian, just by virtue of being saved, you have faith. Amen? Now, there are things you can do to increase your faith. And that's very, very important. And I believe that's where the problem lies as far as the church is concerned, is that we're hearing the bad report so much and we're not hearing the good report. And so our faith is not increasing. We're actually feeding our fear instead of feeding our faith. So what is it that feeds our faith? What is it, obviously, that feeds our faith? Well, even in this verse here, we can get some insight, because it says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, or to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So now we've got a little more insight here into what faith really is based on. We all have it. We see that from 2 Peter 1 and Romans 12, 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 13. But now we're getting a little insight to what it is. So how does it come? What's it based on? Well, faith's not based on what you feel, and it's not based on what you think. And it's not based on what someone says or you know, what you say per se. Faith is based on what's written. Faith is according as it is written. So we're talking about faith. There's faith in a lot of things. I mean, you can have faith in all kinds of things. But we're talking about Bible faith here. We're talking about biblical faith, the faith of God, God's faith that He has implanted in us. It is based on primarily what God says. According as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, He says, and therefore speak. Ooh, I love that. Now, I can tell real quick where somebody is in their faith by what they're saying. Because if you're saying what's written, you know, you're in faith. That's bottom line. But many times we'll say just what we heard, not written, but what we heard someone else say, what we heard on the news, what we heard from some professional. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for all they do. But when it comes to my life and my destiny, listen, I'm going to base it on what's written. Not on all the reports that they may bring. Maybe they bring me matters of prayer and matters for me to trust God in, and I thank God for what they do, and I'm for them. We're for doctors and hospitals and all these things. And even the boss on the job, I mean, he makes predictions and says things. But see, my faith's not based on that. I mean, sometimes it's some bad news, sometimes it's good news. But if it's bad, I'm going to pray and believe God and stand on the Word. Amen. If it's good, then I just know my faith's working. But my faith is based on this, and I make my predictions, and I speak, and I say what is written. And that's what faith is. That's what we are. We are believers. Well, I don't know how we're going to make it. Well, see, I wouldn't say that. I'd say, well, in the name of Jesus, I know my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19 tells me that. And I know that the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack for any good thing. Are you with me? And I know that God daily loads me with His benefits, and that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Now, that's what I'm going to speak. That's my faith speaking. Are you with me? That's my Bible faith speaking. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. So faith's based on, first, the Word. Notice in Romans 10, while we're on that subject, Romans 10, classic verse here, Romans 10th chapter. This helping anybody tonight? Hallelujah. I got a teach on me right now. Sometimes you get a teach on you. I got a teach on. Romans, the 10th chapter, of course, talks a lot about faith. Talks about salvation, how to be saved. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. 10th verse says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he goes on, he says this, 11th verse, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. He's rich to all who believe, right? Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek or what, bond or free, black or white, male or female, let's go on down the list here. He's rich on all that call and obviously believe. And then he says in the 13th verse, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he goes to this, he's actually quoting here out of Isaiah. And he says, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? You can't believe what you hadn't heard. Now, we're getting some insight. How does faith come? How do we increase our faith? How do we encourage our faith? I'm a believer. I believe. I want to believe more. How about you? Well, how do I believe more? How do I get to where my faith increasing that seed, that measure of faith that I have? How do I develop that faith? How do I get to where things don't bother me so much? How do I get to where I'm not so worried all the time? How do I get to where I don't have so much fear when I hear bad news? Well, there's things you can do to increase your faith, to encourage your faith, okay? How can you believe on Him you have not heard? Well, you need to hear, or you can't believe, because faith's based on what? The Word. It's based on what's written, right? And it's assumed that you've got to hear it. I think it's fascinating. Hosea 4:6 tells us this. God says, He says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's amazing to me, because He didn't really say a lack of faith. He didn't say a lack of power. He didn't say a lack of love. He didn't say a lack of all God's resources. They're all there. But because of a lack of knowledge, because they did not know, they did not believe. That's why God sent prophets time and time again. I love that. If you go through the Old Testament, you begin to see prophets rise up. God would speak to kings and speak to rulers and tell them not to fear. You put your faith in God. Don't you fear this enemy. Don't you fear these people that have come against you. You put your faith. You believe the prophets and you will prosper. The Word would come so they could believe. They would have a word to believe. Well, man, we got a whole book of words. We got 66 books of words to believe. And if we will get into them and listen to them and hear them, then we'll have a basis for our faith. Because faith is not based on feeling. It's not based on desire. It's not based on hurt or pain. You know, God just won't heal you because you're sick. He just won't meet your need because it's so great. If you just hurt enough, God will finally show up. Let me tell you something. God showed up a long, long time ago. Does He not care? Oh, yes, He does care. He came down and died for your sins and took stripes on His back that you might be healed 2,000 years ago before you were ever sick. That's how much He cares. So what's the problem? You've got to come and you've got to call. Is He not moved by my pain? Way before you ever dreamed or imagined, He was moved by your pain. But what's going on now is He's waiting for you to trust. He's waiting for you to call. He's waiting for you to accept and receive what He offered. But God, I'm going through so much hurt here. Listen, and I don't mean to sound callous, because it's not that at all, because there's no way you could ever accuse God of being lacking in compassion and love. He's already done all those things we're thinking that He's not doing right now when we're going through this problem. But see, He already did that. He already suffered for us. He already bore stripes on His back. Praise He already God. Died for our sins and rose again. He already made a move ahead of time, knowing it was going to happen, knowing that He needed to take our pain and take our sickness and take our sorrows, and He bore them for us.
Yes, He did.
And now His hands are extended and He's saying, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Does He not care? Oh yes, He cares. He cares. The question is not does He care, not does He love. The question is not will He move. The question is will you believe?
Yeah. That's true, yes.
If you will believe, He'll move across heaven and earth for you.
Yes, He will.
But that's the only thing holding back the power of God in our lives, is our faith or lack thereof. You say, well, Pastor, that's just so cruel, so cold. How is that so cruel and so cold? God is offering this to every man, woman, and child in the whole world. Anybody who comes and calls, He'll help. Anyone. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His own begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish. Is it cruel to say that they don't believe they will perish? That's not cruel, is it, to say if they don't believe? If they do believe, they'll go to heaven. If they don't believe, they will perish. That's what the Scripture says. It's no different with anything else. If we believe, we'll receive. If you doubt, you do without. Are you out there? But how can you believe in Him and you have not heard? That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? I think the sad part is in many Bible studies, maybe groups, maybe churches even, that love God and they're going to heaven, they believe in Jesus Christ as a Savior from their sins, yet they never hear anything about healing, they never hear anything about miracles. And you know what? How can they believe? How can you believe for healing if you have not heard of healing? How could you believe in Him you have not heard? It'd be impossible to do that, because faith is what? Based on what? According as it is written. It's not based on your need. You got to get that out of your thinking, because we'll start playing Charlie Brown. You know, why is everybody always picking on me? You know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We start having a pity party when things go wrong, and nobody shows up, you and the devil, at a pity party. And we whine and we groan and we get depressed and we crawl in a hole and we close the door and unplug the phone, won't talk to anybody, and we get worse and worse and worse. Woe is me, poor me, poor me. Stay with me. I felt that way. Anybody ever felt that way? But the problem with that is we are the problem when that happens. God does care. He's trying to get us to call on Him and believe on Him, and we're running further and further away. That old saying of, you know, if God seems distant, guess who moved? It wasn't God. It was us. We need to run to God when things go wrong, not away from Him. We need to trust God, not blame Him when things go wrong. We need to call on Him and use our faith, not point our finger. He's not our problem. He's our answer. We've got to trust Him. And we don't come to Him and say, God, I just hurt so bad. Well, of course you do. Now, there's nothing wrong with being honest and saying that. But you have to reach a point of faith. You have to say, okay, Lord, I'm in pain here. I'm hurting here. I don't know what's going on here, but I know You're good, and I know Your Word says thus and so in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I'm calling on You to do thus and so because You said You would. You promised You would. You care for me. You're not the problem. You're the answer. My eyes are on You, Lord. And I am trusting You. And I thank You. No matter what I feel, no matter what's going on, what anybody says, according to Your Word, I'm thanking You for the answer. Lord, I have heard what You have to say here. And You are good. I'm not going to whine and moan and groan about this or point my finger at you. You are not the problem. You are the answer. That's right. You know, Dodie, John Osteen's wife, Dodie, Joel Osteen's mama, who's still alive today and praying for the sick at Lakewood Church. She got metastatic cancer of the liver. 1981. Diagnosed with metastatic cancer of the liver. Went to the doctor. The doctor gave her 2 weeks to live. She got down to 89 pounds. Sent her home. Said, there's nothing we can do. Brother Osteen was there with the doctor. He knew the doctor. And they were friends. Knew each other. And he said, Brother Osteen, there's nothing we can do. Your wife has metastatic cancer of the liver. She got about 2 weeks to live. You can make her comfort. Take her home. And Brother Osteen said, well, we believe in miracles. Doctor, we believe in miracles. She's going to live and not die. And the doctor said, well, Brother Osteen, you're going to need one. Brother Osteen says, we're going to get one. And they went home. And she got about 25 scriptures. In fact, you can get that list. I think, how many scriptures is it? 40 scriptures on healing. Typed them all out. Every day. She quote these scriptures on healing. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. You're the Lord God that healeth me. David cried and said, I cried to the Lord and thou hast healed me. I thank you, Lord, I cried to you, you healed me. I thank you, Lord, that you not only take away my sins or my iniquities, forgive all my iniquities, but you heal all my diseases. I thank you, Father. You said lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I lay hands on myself in Jesus' name and I recover. Pray one for another that you may be healed. I pray that I be healed. She went through all these scriptures every day. And she said, Lord, my children need me. My husband needs me. The church needs me. I'm going to live and not die. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Did that every day. 2 weeks. 3 weeks. 4 weeks. She didn't die in 2 weeks. She didn't die in 2 years. She didn't die in 20 years. She didn't die in 30 years. She's still alive today.
That's right.
Amen.
And what amazes me along these lines, Vin Kinslow interviewed her on CBN a couple years after she had this miraculous healing. There's not a trace of it in her body. She was miraculously healed. I mean, this is a miracle of God. Yeah. And she wrote a book called Heal of Cancer, which we've got that book and passed it. I don't know how many we've passed out and given to people. It had all kinds of seemingly unquote fatal diseases, quote unquote fatal diseases that got healed. But she said, when Ben Kinsale interviewed her, said, Dodie, didn't you ever get mad at God during that time? Because it didn't happen immediately. She didn't walk up and walk away immediately. It was a slow process, but she didn't give up. Every day she prayed those scriptures. And she made herself get out of bed. And she'd quote those scriptures every day, every day. Fought that thing and fought that thing and trusted God and trusted God. And finally, not a trace in her body. And so Ben says, did you ever get mad at God? And you just have to know Dodie. You know, she's just a sweet, sweet lady. She's just an awesome lady. I remember that interview. She looked at Ben, her eyes is real wide and like perplexed. And she says, get mad at God? Why would I get mad at God? He was my only hope. I was trusting Him. That is so profound, really. I mean, it's simple, but yet profound. How could you get mad at God when He's your answer?
That's right.
He didn't put that on her. He didn't make her sick. Get mad at Him. He's not the enemy. He's not the problem here. He is the Lord God that healeth thee. He's not the Lord God that maketh thee sick. You know, and that's what we do, though. We get frustrated. We get mad. We think God's behind every little thing that happens. He is not behind every little thing that happens. The scripture is very plain. There's God, there's the devil, and then there's you. God's good, devil's bad. And you're a little mixed up. Okay, so where was I? Oh yeah, increasing our faith. Say in the word. But you have to have the word to believe the word. Isn't that what it says here in the 14th verse? How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hey, y'all need me. That's good. I love that. Well, the world needs all of us, amen, all of us, to speak the word and share the gospel and the good news and tell people there's hope. Because if you don't tell them, they won't have it. They can't have it, see. They can't believe what they hadn't heard. And he goes on, 15th verse, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, good news of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So everybody that hears doesn't believe, but nobody believes unless they hear. We know that everybody that hears doesn't believe. But I can guarantee you this, nobody can believe unless they hear. So that's a choice. Once you hear, you have to choose to believe. But hearing allows you to believe. So you don't even have a choice to believe if you don't know there is a choice. I mean, if I put a table out here with a sheet on it, you know, and I put on top of an apple and a banana and says, here's your choices, come get it. And I had an orange under the table, you couldn't see it. You couldn't choose the orange if you didn't know it was there. You can only choose what you see, what you knew about. You may not choose the orange after you hear about it, but nonetheless, you sure can't choose it if you don't know. Everyone hasn't believed the report, but nobody believes without hearing the report. Isn't that right? So then, 17th verse, classic verse, that's the context of it. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I love that. So how can I increase my faith? I want to believe more. I've got faith. We all have it. How can I increase it? Well, I can hear more of God's Word. And if you're going through a battle, the more you hear the problem, the more you're going to increase your faith in that problem. I had a lady knock on my door one time. I got here a little early for church. I was doing a little study in the office. Nice quiet time, you know. I think it was a Wednesday night service, I believe is what it was. And bam, 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 somebody knocked on the door. And I'm thinking, my goodness, man, here I am trying to study. And I got here early and everything. Somebody's beating on my door. And so this lady comes and she's distraught. I mean, she's just distraught. And she has this letter with her from an employer saying that, not only has she lost her job, but they were going to, I think, investigate her or something, that something done. She said, I haven't done anything. And look at this letter, and look at this letter, and it says this, and it says it right here, and it's signed by this person. Blah, 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 and go with this whole nine yards. And I was a little frustrated. But even when I'm frustrated, I'm going to quote the word. I said, okay, fine, wonderful. I said, let me tell you something. I had the little stick-it notes on my desk, and I started writing out, my God supply all my needs, according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. I said, look at that. See that? Look at that. Slapped it on that letter. Pulled out another stick-it. And I stick-it note. Post-it. Whatever. Wrote down another scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalms 23:1. You see that? You see that? Look at that. She looked at it. I said, okay. I slapped it on that letter. And I pulled about two or three more and wrote scriptures out and I put them. And I said, let me tell you something. You need to quit looking at that letter and you start looking at these post-it notes right here and look at these scriptures. Because it doesn't matter what that letter says. Right. What matters is what God says.
That's right.
You know, she got a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
Got her job back. Are you with me? Even in my frustration, God still moved, during all that. But hey, you know what? As hard as that might have seemed, that was the problem.
Yeah.
Look at that letter. See what it says. No, look at the Word of God and see what it says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And if we want to increase our faith and we want to believe more, we're going to have to hear more. You can't operate on last week's faith, last month's faith, last year's faith. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for 28 years. I've seen a lot. I've been around the world, done all kinds of things, seen a lot of miracles, seen a lot of people get saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, and so on and so forth. But I still have to believe God. And I still have to read my Bible all the time, every day. I have to get the scripture out when things go wrong. I have to stand on the Word. I have to look at it. I have to quote it. And I wouldn't have it any other way. God doesn't honor my faith or my lack of faith on the basis of all the things I did over the years. He honors my faith today when I pray today. The faith I have today. And I can increase that or I can just let it die out. I want to keep increasing. How about you?
Amen.
Okay, so we have faith. Let me wrap this up. We all have it. Don't you listen to that. Don't you buy that lie. And don't you ever feel intimidated when you're facing a situation or a problem or a crisis. Or buy the idea or lie that you cannot believe. You can believe. That's who you are. You're a believer. Those three scriptures that we talked about. 2 Peter, the first chapter, first verse. Like precious faith. Romans 12:3. The measure of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We all have the same spirit of faith. We got faith. Amen? And if you don't feel real strong in faith at the moment, you can increase your faith by hearing the Word. Romans the 10th chapter, the 10th all the way through the 17th verse. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And add with that 2 Corinthians 4:13, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. So get the Word, believe it, and speak it. Amen? And you can increase your faith by hearing the Word over and over and over. Put it in the CD player. Let it play in your house. Let it play in your car. Get on the internet if you need to, whatever. You don't have to wait from Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Wednesday. Get the Word every day. Get in there.
Yeah.
Day and night. You need it. If you hadn't anything happen, let me tell you something. This is not doom, gloom, destruction prophesied to you. Excuse me. If you live long enough on this earth, there's going to be a crisis that's going to happen. We're not in heaven. This is a broken, fallen world.
Yeah.
Sickness comes, depression comes, economic disaster, things come. But see, God never promised us this thing wouldn't come. He promised us that He would supply our needs if we trust Him.
Yeah.
And He'd be there for us when the need comes. And so you need faith. You need to increase your faith, because there's coming a day you're going to desperately need it. There's been days that all that kept me going was my faith in God. All that kept me going. I mean, I can think of times where I just don't know if I don't know what I would have done. I would have been a basket case, complete basket case, if I didn't know how to trust God, if I didn't know to call on Him. Don't like those times. Listen, I like the fact I can call on God, but I don't like living on that edge. You know, but the good news is, if that time does come in your life, and it comes from time to time, you can make it, praise God. You can trust God, and God will always come through.